It's a brand new episode of the Kick Out podcast. I go by the name of Skillet.
I'm Max.
I'm Scan.
The same old introduction. How is everybody? Good?
Yeah, we're good, bro. We're good, man. Yeah. Glad to be back, man.
Good, man. I do see Max quite often because, you know, we did a Grid of Position podcast together. But Scan, I haven't seen you for a little while. How you been, brother? And then we'll circle back to Max. But how you been, Scan?
Yeah, man, on the graft, man, as you know, outside of this wrestling thing, I do music, I do journalism, I teach. So it's very hectic, man, but we're just trying to stay on top of everything, keep the plate spinning as you do.
Absolutely, brother. I see you're doing your thing in the daytime and then you're doing your thing at the nighttime. And it's that juxtaposition every time.
Don't stop, man.
It comes with the territory. And how are you, Max? How's things with you, brother?
Yeah, same really. Spinning plates, trying to make it all work, but we're grateful.
Absolutely, bro. I guess, you know, the big talking point for this week, I guess, is the draft itself. Before we start breaking down the draft, what is your opinion of what's happened in the draft so far? Have you been underwhelmed? Have you been shocked? Have you been impressed? Or is there something that you're not really shocked about or whatever, especially the names that's been called up? I'll circle to Max first, if you don't mind, Scan. Max, what's your opinion about the draft? Is the draft completely finished or is there still more to come?
I actually read something today that said they might be drafting right up till Monday, which is the day where everything gets locked in.
So we probably
not on programming, we're not going to see anything different, but maybe on like on social media, they might announce some stuff here and there. But yeah, I largely found the draft underwhelming. Probably got myself hyped up for something that, you know, it was never going to be more than what it was. The most exciting part about the draft, I reckon, is the NXT call-ups and seeing, you know, one, these new names onto the roster, main roster in general, and two, what it genuinely means to them. Like, that is completely genuine, them sitting in the PC, not knowing if their name's going to be called, not knowing if they're going to be called up. So I think that's probably the most exciting part of this. And I think in general, that's what the draft actually is. You know, like an NFL draft, it would be people from college teams or college universities coming into the NFL. This is probably the same. And that's why it's the most exciting part. People from NXT, the lower leagues, if you want to call it that, coming into the main roster scene. So, yeah, if it wasn't for NXT, I'd be cussing about this whole thing, effing and blinding. But yeah, NXT is like the kind of glimmer of hope in it all.
And Scan, like, when you think about the drafts here, we're gonna obviously break it down today, but in the past, when somebody mentions, oh, WWE's gonna do a draft today, does any like legendary draft moments from the past spring to your mind? Does anything come up?
Oh yeah, obviously people obviously will go back to the whole John Cena thing that year. But I think those are legendary moments that they can't really top now, man. And that's the problem, you know? I think they got to find a new twist. And it kind of felt like they're stuck for ideas now, man. And they spoiled it a little bit when they said all the champions are locked in, so you're not going to get no surprise movement, you know? So it's one of those things, man. They could have just done the whole thing on an episode of Raw and kept it moving, man. I don't know why they had to stretch it out over two episodes and that, man. That was 5 hours, bro, for this draft. Plus, you know, the post-show stuff, that's crazy.
Max, as somebody that keeps his ears close to the sheets, the dirt sheets, and you know, a lot of wrestling journalism, blogs or articles or whatever, you name it. Do you think WWE today could ever pull off a shock draft where they, you know, behind these things, they secretly signed someone, but we are not clued up to it. And they've gotten someone straight from, say, a New Japan or TNA or even an AEW. Do you think that could ever happen in a draft down the line?
I think, yes, it 100% can. There are still shocks in wrestling that, you know, yeah, we all know when someone's contract is up and ultimately means they're available to the market, but it doesn't mean that we know where they're gonna go, sort of thing. So there are still the odd shocks completely that can happen, but again, I think it comes down to what they want this draft to now represent, because it's like, there will be some smart Alex. Maybe I could be one of them, to be honest. Like, if they brought in Jacob Fatu is signed for Raw. It's like, can you draft someone that wasn't already in the pool? Like, yeah. you've just signed someone. It's not, is that a draft pick? You see what I mean? Yeah. And then you start entering the realm of technicalities and stuff like that. So, I mean, the surprise draft moves, I was saying this the other day, the surprise draft moves could be like NXT sign Roman Reigns. Then our jaw will all be on the ground or something like that. And maybe you get like a nice segment of Roman saying he's above this place and I don't want to go there and stuff. Like, just little fun things they can do. I think it was the 02 draft when Undertaker was drafted to SmackDown, I think it was.
Yeah.
And
he
went ballistic. Like, he was just like, what the heck is this sort of thing? Like,
that was the same year when they broke up the Dudleys as well.
Broke up the Dudleys, took words out of my mouth. Yeah, literally. So there's stuff within the draft that they can do to make it exciting. To bring in someone completely fresh, it could be a technicality, but that would be fun as well. But yeah, like it's...
No, you made a good point there. That's a very good point.
Skillet, was you surprised there was no free agents this year?
A bit. Like, I think Max is right. Like, the highlights of the draft for me were the NXT call-ups. Like, even though I'm not clued up with NXT like I used to be, so some of the times I've probably seen them wrestle on the pay-per-views because I still watch the pay-per-views. I don't watch it week in, week out. So I think there were some call-ups that if you watched it week in, week out, you would know who these people are. You might be excited for it. But I couldn't really get too excited for them. You know, apart from the main ones like Carmelo and stuff, like, you know what I mean? Like, and Dijak, I know Dijak from back in the day. But I don't know some of these new guys. So that's why I was like, oh, I'm hoping Mex is free this week because, boy, I don't know. we'll talk about it. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to actually get all the list of names from last week and this week. And obviously, I'm going to mention a name and I'll come to each of you and you guys give me your thoughts about, you know, said person that I mentioned.
Can I say one last thing, man? I feel bad for someone like, say, Odyssey Jones, who was drafted last year and didn't even make it to TV in the course of a whole year, and then they put him in the draft pool again with Apollo Crews. These people who don't even make it to TV, so I don't understand why they're still in the draft.
I'm trying to remember who Odyssey Jones is.
Odyssey Jones was someone that hardly had a run in NXT.
Right.
He was on NXT TV for a hot second.
I'm going to Google him now.
But yeah, he hardly had a run in NXT. He got, like Scan rightly said, he got called up last year to Raw. Didn't make one appearance on Raw all year, or SmackDown or any other product. I think he may have been injured for a period. And then maybe it was a thing where creative just have nothing for you. But yes, I think it is very wild for them to kind of then also draft him again this year. And it's like, okay, well, are you actually going to do something with him this time? We still haven't, you know, to be honest, it's not that dissimilar to Gable Steveson. Remember when he drafted Gable Steveson to Raw?
Yeah.
We never saw him. We saw him turn up in NXT, but obviously his name held a bit more weight because of the whole Olympic stuff and maybe any other scandal he was involved in. But like, it's just one of them ones where you're making a big deal about drafting these people, but are they actually going to make it to TV? Are they actually going to become something for us to care about?
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, so I'm going to mention, obviously, in the last week's, the first night one of the draft, the EST was the first name they mentioned, which is brilliant. I think that's amazing. That the first person they mentioned throughout the whole draft was a Bianca Belair, not anyone. So, Scan, I'll come to you. What does that say to you in terms of their belief in Bianca and how they see Bianca?
Well, she's a star, man. You know, she's got her own reality TV show. You know, I'll use my daughter, for example, totally not into wrestling at all, but knows Bianca Belair, you know? So it's just one of those things, man. I'm really happy to see a nice, see an African-American female as the number one draft pick. I'm sure that's the first time that's ever happened, you know? So it's definitely a good look.
I've just saw the image of Odyssey Jones and I remember him now. I remember he was a part of some funny angles in NXT, right? Like there was that, like, he was part of the, not part of it, but he was in the wedding of, what's my man's name? The crazy man,
Loomis,
Dexter Loomis's wedding, and I remember him. Mex, the second name was Jey Uso. Now that's a big look. We all know Jey Uso is the main event. Jey Uso, he's breaking out. He's the breakout star of the Bloodline. He probably will be the second Bloodline member to win a world title eventually. Can you see that happening with Jey Uso? Let me hear your thoughts.
If they 2015 Roman Reigns force it down our necks, then maybe. Like, I like Jey Uso. I love his energy. I think he's got main event energy. The yeet is clearly over. The entrance is clearly over. Is Jey Uso actually over? I don't know. I don't think so. I think we need proof of concept. I think if we're going to give him a singles title, we need to give him, starting from United States title, I would even say IC, because Gunther's built that IC to a certain point now where, I'm sorry to say, Jey Uso don't even deserve it, even being a mid-card belt. Start him from the United States title if we're going to prove as a singles champion, he could one day be world champion. As much as this number one draft pick for Raw, Cody trying to anoint him before Cody left Raw, everything they're trying to do to tell us that he is the number one baby face, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, maybe. But like, in terms of our interest and belief in him as a wrestler, it's not there. And I think it's only a matter of time when Punk is back and fighting fit, he's the number one face on Raw and Jey Uso falls down a couple pegs.
Third choice for the draft pick is Carmelo Hayes. Now, Scan, there's been a lot of eyes on Carmelo since he's joined the Black and Gold product. For how long has he been there? For like 3 years now, 2 years maybe? And he's, you know, he's impact player, straight into it. I remember when was this? The last time I was at Mania. When was that? The Austin one, right? When Austin returned against Kevin Owens.
So 38.
And I was at, Ace and I was going into the House of Blues, the MVP and Carmelo and that guy Greg was behind us. And that's the first time I met Carmelo. And I said to him straight, I went, oh, look, the future of the WWE. And then Carmelo was like, looked around like, oh, maybe if I was being sarcastic, I don't know. And then MVP was like, yeah, nah, Skinnish, right. You are the future of the WWE. And he's like, oh, thank you, man. And you can just see, he just radiates energy. He just radiates a star. He's kind of similar to Shawn Michaels. What's your thoughts on Carmelo Hayes, Scan?
I agree, man. You know, even the phrases like "that's him," "Melo don't miss," "Melo's money." You know, all of those factors, man. He proves with the quality of his ring work, man. You know, like you said, he's got that superstar aura. You know, I mean, hopefully they won't hold his size against him. But you know, the world is an oyster, man. I'd love to see him main event of Mania.
Max, do you think in the current climate of Triple H tutelage that the size does matter with Carmelo?
No, not too much. I don't think so. We've moved on for them particular days. And I think he will get a fair crack at it. Like, definitely get a fair crack at it. You know, will he main event a WrestleMania, which is almost become its own thing if it wasn't already? Like, it's like almost above the belt now, you know, main event in WrestleMania. That's another thing, because the world watches that main event, and at that point you really need to look like a wrestler, if not carry the aura of a wrestler, sort of thing. But yeah, he's gonna get a fair crack of the whip.
Do you think Trick could main event at WrestleMania one day
if he carries on this current trajectory?
I think Trick is money.
There is still work needed. Like, admittedly, there's still work needed, but like, I definitely feel like this is wrestling. This is WWE more than anything. Like, the gift of the gab, the packaging, this, that, and the other, he's got it. Like, everything else, they can do bells and whistles and cool entrances around. You see what I mean? But he's definitely got the makings of it. The pair of them do, to be fair.
The last choice of round one was Seth freaking Rollins. Obviously, Max, a lot of this was very quite predictable in terms of who's staying, who's not. It didn't seem like, okay, Bianca stayed on SmackDown, Seth stayed on Raw. Steph was Raw, right? He was Raw before.
Yeah, he was Raw.
He stayed on Raw. You know, Carmelo comes up, that's the unpredictable factor. And Jey Uso stayed on Raw. So far, they kept it safe, which is understandable. Then in round two, if I remember, it was LA Knight, right? No, round two was Randy Orton. Randy Orton was drafted to SmackDown, and then Raw got Bron Breakker. Mex, do you have any opinions on Bron Breakker finally getting a main roster call up?
Well, this is the thing. They called him up like 2 months ago. They made a whole big deal about, is he going to sign to SmackDown or Raw? He signed to SmackDown, and a month later, he's been drafted to Raw. Yeah. So, okay, I hope that's where the messing around of Bron Breakker begins and ends, because they clearly know they've got a star on their hand. So let's just treat him as one here on out sort of thing. But yeah, again, he's out of the book of Carmelo that we're just discussing. He's the quote-unquote look of a pro wrestler that will one day probably be a main eventer in WrestleMania. So yeah, the sky's the limit for him too.
Do you think they should bring the chemistry between him and Baron Corbin onto the main roster, or just leave Bron Breakker by himself?
They said that was the initial plan until they realized how much of a star Bron Breakker could be. Yeah. So maybe they didn't want to put him next to the Baron Corbin stench that's of the main roster. I like Corbin, but the main roster crowd may not, you know, in the past, they don't appreciate him, innit? So maybe they just didn't want to put that with Bron because it'll stay in Bron. Maybe that's what they're thinking.
Yeah. Scan, the next choice was Nia Jax, who's been doing great work since she's returned to the WWE. What are your thoughts of her on the blue brand?
I think they've intentionally sent her to the blue brand because I think ultimately she is bloodline bound, you know? So they're gonna put the strap on her at some point, and I think that's when she joins Tama Tonga, Solo Sikoa, and maybe Jacob Fatu, you know, and when The Rock returns. But I do want to ask you this though, Skillet. Did you notice the detail in the drafts where they said that they're also they're not just fighting to draft them to other brands, they're also fighting to keep wrestlers on their own brand, which I think is something new as well.
Okay. So what are they suggesting? So is the draft going to be a yearly thing, or is this going to be something to do?
I think the draft is, but it's a gimmick, isn't it? It's basically, there's an NFL draft that happened last week, and they coincide their draft with the NFL draft. So it looks like whole draft season everywhere. Everyone's talking about drafts. Let's get some eyes on WWE and what they're doing with their draft. The report that came out today, I think from WrestleVaults, they basically said that WWE were very happy with their rosters regardless of the draft. So this was always just done as a gimmick of let's have a draft. Like Scan rightly said, you know, it's very important in a draft that as well as you acquire people, you keep hold of your best people sort of thing. Yeah. And that's why the rosters practically look the same as they did, you know, 2 weeks ago and stuff.
Okay, interesting. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I think it makes sense. I think they've kind of handled it quite well. Obviously, I don't think everybody was so like disappointed. I mean, when they did, they've hyped up like massive shakeups before in the past, and it just was so underwhelming. So I think they're doing it quite well. It's not so bad. Liv Morgan. Her revenge tour stays on Raw. Mex, what do you think of Liv Morgan? First of all, being on Raw and her new heel persona after injuring Rhea.
Again, I mean, there's not much to say in regards to her staying on Raw. I guess that's where they're kind of going to try to mold her into the main eventer. What's her face there? Becky there, the champion and stuff like that. Her heel persona, I don't think the switch of becoming a heel, they've quite hit the switch yet. Like, people are booing her because they like Rhea and she hurt Rhea. She's trying to act a bit more rough around the edges. I don't know if the fans have quite bought it yet. But the one thing I don't agree with is that they've given her the next title shot. I don't think it's going to be at Lee Backlash, but she's going to face Becky for the title like fairly soon. She's number one contender. And it's just like, I think we need to not rush this.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. That could have been a SummerSlam. So, well, I'm assuming Rhea would be back by then anyway. But, you know, yeah, I think you're right. rushing that is a bit much. LA Knight was on the first draft to SmackDown on round three. He stayed on SmackDown. Raw, Ricochet. Was Ricochet on SmackDown before or was he on Raw?
He was on Raw.
So yeah, Ricochet stays on Raw. The Bloodline, Scam. The new version of the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, with Paul Heyman, and obviously, eventually, Jacob Fatu. How are you feeling about this new Bloodline? Are you excited about what's going on? And is it must-see TV for you?
Yeah, man, I'm excited if they book it right. And so far, they've booked it strong. You know, the way they've just done in, like, Kevin Owen, brought the blood back, you know. I'm positive. I like the way Solo Sikoa has switched it up. Now he's wearing suits. Now he's talking, you know.
So he wasn't happy that they were drafted first. He said, what's the reason why we are not number one drafts and we are now third in the draft list or whatever? And then Heyman say something about, like, practically kind of said, you're not Roman Reigns. So, did he say, am I right? Something like that? Did he not say something like that?
Well, apparently Roman Reigns withdrew from the draft.
That's right. That's it. That's what happened. And then, so Solo was upset that he's probably feeling that he's not getting the respect that he deserves as the new Bloodline leader at the moment. We'll see who the new leader is in a minute. Bloodline stays on SmackDown with Tama Tonga, and we're excited to see. I'm very happy to see Tama Tonga in the new faction, and I'm excited to see what they do. Sheamus, who returned recently, is drafted to Raw. And then we get to round four, SmackDown. AJ Styles stays on SmackDown. The Alpha Academy, Gable, Otis, Tozawa, and Maxine Dupri stays on Raw. SmackDown gets Andrade. Was he on Raw?
He was just drafted. He just signed a deal with Raw literally like a month ago as well.
Okay. And this is what I want to talk to you about next. Kiana James from NXT got a great warm reception as all the rest of us watching on the big screen and the Titantron who are watching in the Performance Center. Can you tell me about Kiana? I think I have seen her wrestle once. I think I saw her in a 5-women challenge match or something like that in a recent NXT review. But I don't know much about her. What can we expect from Kiana James?
So she's a good wrestler. She's very capable, very able. I wouldn't say like an overachiever or anything like that, but she's a very solid wrestler. She won the NXT Women's, was it NXT Women's Tag Team Championships when they had it at the time? She was champion with Fallon Henley. They had a little run. She's told good stories. Her character is like she's a businesswoman or something like that. Makes houses and into real estate and all this kind of thing. They've kind of dropped that heavy aspect of it being very, you know, with the whole NXT 2.0 stuff. She's just like a businesswoman now, as opposed to getting into the nitty-gritty of what she does in her business. But she's a good character. She's had some good stories along the way. I think she is a shock for some people. She's not someone that ever kind of was mentioned at top of the card in NXT or like someone that was a champion or anything like that. In terms of,
I like that though. I like that though, because I like there's two ways you can make it to the main roster. There's a way where you help the show go along and you're part of like very vital storylines and it will take a bit more time, but there's eyes on you and eventually it's going to be obvious that you're going to be called up. But it's also where you help out the product, you're part of maybe a mid-card angle, you might not be shown all the time, but they are also knowing how value you are and how good you think they might, you know, you might fare on the main roster. Do you know what I mean? I like the fact that it's not just one way and because you haven't been on TV this much, you're not going to be on, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, no, we know how good you are regardless. We see how hard you're working and now you're called up.
I think that it's one of them ones where there's a position for everybody.
Yes.
Like, it's not like you don't have to, like you're saying, you don't have to reach the top of the card. Becky was never anywhere near an NXT Women's Champion. I think she had that one title shot in all her time at NXT. But look who Becky Lynch is now. The same with Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan obviously hasn't quite cracked that main event on main roster, but she is like a beloved member of the roster, full stop. And these people were just, you know, fixtures of NXT. Bianca Belair never won the NXT title. Look who Bianca Belair is now. So it's one of them ones where I think, and I've heard Triple H say this before, there are some people that are just made for main roster. Like, they're not, like, they won't mesh with the NXT fans and stuff like that. Like, their heat that they can garner and stuff like that is just made for TV. I remember he said that about Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin was just meant to be on TV and not NXT. Elias was meant to be on, you know, TV and not necessarily NXT's product. So, yeah, maybe that's how they're looking at Kiana James. You know, they've got an overflow of women in that women's division, hence why they're bringing in another belt, a mid-card belt. Mm-hmm. And they just see, well, there's nothing we can necessarily teach her. We don't think she will necessarily be someone that can lead the brand with the title. And we believe her wrestling abilities of a good amount, a good level. Let's send her up. Like, what are we keeping her here for? Spinning her wheels. Let's send her up, see how she does. Hopefully she does well. So, yeah.
Wicked. After night one of the draft, the show, WWE announced some more drafts that took place on social media. So on SmackDown, acquired the OC, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, Baron Corbin, Cedric Alexander, and Ashante the Adonis. And then Raw acquired Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, Alba Fire, and Isla Dawn, and Ivar. Are you excited about any of these names, guys? Okay. Let's move on to night two. So night two, round one, Raw got to keep Imperium, which is good for Ludwig Kaiser. How are you guys feeling about Da Vinci being kicked out of Imperium? Scan, how are you feeling about that?
To me, it made sense. I don't think he really fit in the group, to be honest. You know, I always felt that... always felt Ilya Dragunov fit better. But we'll see if that actually becomes a reality. But yeah, man, Ludwig and Gunther just seem like more in sync. My guy kind of felt like the odd one out. That was my opinion. But you know
Giovanni Vinci had a, did he not, Max, correct me if I'm wrong, did he not have like a solo run for a little bit in NXT?
He had a supermodel gimmick.
NXT 2.0. That's when they changed him to Giovanni Vinci. If you right. remember before that, he was Fabian Aichner.
That's right. Yes, of course.
Guys, brilliant. He is a million times better. No disrespect to Ludwig Kaiser. He's a million times better than Ludwig Kaiser.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%.
Like, he is so cold. And to be honest, I think this is more for him. Like, well, I think that he will survive on his own. So let's give him his own kind of push. Okay. More than anything. I'm not too keen on the supermodel kind of gimmick and stuff, but people enjoyed it, to be fair. So maybe they bring that back. But I'm not a fan of them splitting Imperium up either, to be fair. But the Dragunov rumors, they rumble on. Let's see if it happens.
The Storm stays on SmackDown. Jade Cargill gets drafted to SmackDown. We're excited to see what she does this year. Damage Control, Io Sky, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai gets drafted to Raw. SmackDown, Kevin Owens gets drafted. And after the end of round one, back then in round two, Raw gets drafted to CM Punk. Oh, yeah, because CM Punk, was he not like a floater between both shows before he officially got drafted to Raw? Or was he
kind of?
I think he officially signed to Raw in the end.
Okay, so he's on Raw now.
Yeah.
The Pride, Bobby Lashley, Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins, and B-Fab drafted to SmackDown. Raw gets a returning Braun Strowman. I want to ask you both how are you feeling about the return of Braun Strowman. Let's start with you, Scan. How are you feeling about Strowman being
I don't know, you know, I was kind of hoping he would have come back in the Wyatt Six, man. That was what I was looking for. Because I don't know what else they can do with him, you know, to be honest. I don't know, Mex, you might know of something else they can do with him, but I think they've kind of run out of ideas.
Mex, are you happy to see Strowman? Did you pop? Because I didn't.
No, I didn't pop per se. It's good to always get a return, but like, I didn't pop. I just thought, yeah, that he was going to be as part of that Wyatt group. And you know, just because we've seen him doesn't mean that's not where he may end up. His entering of that group may be more of like they have to convert him or something like that. Who knows? But yeah, in terms of everything else, I mean, he could be like a good potential challenger for like a Damian Priest as champion or whoever's world champion and stuff like that. He's still got it in him to kind of do that kind of stuff. That's but true. If we're not getting back Braun Strowman 2017, you know, I'm not finished with you and tearing apart Roman Reigns, like, I don't really care for Braun Strowman.
I hear that. Tiffany Stratton, drafted to SmackDown. Mex, is that the perfect home for Stratton at this moment of time?
For Stratton, I don't really think it would have mattered. I think she's another one where she's just destined for greatness at this point, and they just need to smartly pace out where her accolades are going to come with Risk Money in the Bank, women's singles gold, whatever the case may be. I think she's just going to be a star wherever she lands, sort of thing. So, yeah.
Now, on round four, I feel like one of the best booking decisions of this draft is to separate the LWO, right, on a different brand to Legado del Fantasma, which stays on SmackDown. So LWO got drafted to Raw, and Legado del Fantasma got drafted to SmackDown, which is, I think, is great because we've seen these two factions feud already. We've seen it quite already this year, maybe even from standing from last year, really, kind of. And I feel like now LWO on Raw could probably have a nice little, not as in a major push, but nice little stay to kind of help put on other talents. I think that'll probably be LWO's position. And then I think the guy del Fantasma, they'll probably get a real push with Santos Escobar to be kind of like a mainstay, a very dominant faction. What do you think of that, Scan? Or do you think both factions could thrive on both brands in a kind of a major push way? Oh, you're mute.
Both factions are flying the flag for Lucha Libre and the burgeoning Latino markets. So, you know, they're representing, man. And I think both of them can thrive. I think it was a great decision to split them up because their feud was done to death, man. You know, I found it funny that they drafted Carlito as LWO when he's actually left the group. So, you know, it's a thing, man.
What do you think about that angle? Because obviously we all had that speculation that Carlito was the one who attacked Dragon Lee, Max. And then he got exposed by Santos Escobar. So now LWO's got problems within themselves. And then, you know, Carlito attacked Dragon Lee and Rey and all that. Are you happy to see Carlito as a solo heel now again back in 2024?
That's when he does his best work as a solo heel.
That is true.
I can't say that I care at this point. Even if he goes heel and he's on his own, what's he going to do? Who's he going to beat to kind of make it impactful? Is he just going to be basically what they've turned Shinsuke Nakamura into, but a Latino version? Yeah. Like, you know, just comes out, makes threats, gets sucker punches in, but when it comes to the match, never wins. Is that, if that's what he's going to occupy, then cool. But doesn't necessarily interest me.
Drew McIntyre drafted to Raw. We all know that was going to happen. And he signed a new contract as well. So he's staying in WWE. I saw him getting a sword from The Rock. That was lovely. Nice little...
They should have kayfabed it, man. They shouldn't have told us.
Yeah, I agree. And Shinsuke, as you mentioned earlier, Max, drafted to SmackDown. Now, is this something new for Shinsuke? Are they going to be like, oh, we're going to draft you in Shinsuke now? Is he going to... What's Damage Control? They're on Raw, aren't they? They're on Raw, aren't they? Okay, well, then ignore that. Is this going to be something new for Shinsuke, or is this going to be the same kind of placeholder position for him just to help put other SmackDown talents over? Like, is he going to, like, you know how he lost to Cody over and over again? Is he going to do that again? Because Cody's still the champion. Is he going to continue on SmackDown and he loses again?
Maybe. Like, the only thing that interests me here as to even why they kind of included him, his contract is supposed to end at some point this year. So I don't know whether they're going to plan to use him prominently to some degree, use that maybe to kind of twang him into signing a new contract. Otherwise, I see him going to AEW, even if it's on a part-time schedule, going to AEW, doing New Japan to kind of end his career.
I would love it. You know, if Shinsuke does go to AEW, imagine they bring back his New Japan theme.
That would be crazy. That was cold.
I would love that. Judgment Day stays on Raw. Naomi stays on stays on SmackDown. And Ilya Dragunov, I think we all predicted this when he showed up on the night before, night after Mania, is drafted to Raw. Scan, you mentioned earlier, you felt that Ilya needs to be part of the Imperium. Mex has mentioned this a few weeks ago. Do you think this is going to happen, Scan?
I mean, I'd like to see it, even if it's a temporary thing, you know, and then he ends up feuding with Gunther again, because their matches obviously are classics.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So this might be just a way to kind of wean him onto the main roster. So, yeah, I can see that happening.
Mex, having Ilya Dragunov part of Imperium for like most of the year and then falling out in time of Mania, is that something that's water in your mouth thinking about it?
Yeah, that could be good. Maybe like a slow build to that, because I think even if you just do for the love of the streets, Gunther versus Ilya in Berlin in August, like that would absolutely tear the house down. Them two have already copped 5 stars twice on 2 occasions in NXT from their matches. So if we run it back again for a third time, and maybe it's one of them ones where Ilya just clocks, no matter what I do, I can't beat this guy. So if you can't beat him, join them, sort of thing, innit? Yeah. And we get that eventually. So yeah, I don't mind if putting him in Imperium if it gives him something to do, as opposed to him just getting lost on main roster.
Yeah, I agree. Chelsea Green and Piper Nevin gets drops to SmackDown. That's the last names of round 4. Then we're on to round 5. The New Day drafted to Raw. Pretty Deadly drafted to SmackDown. And Lyra Valkyria, am I saying her name right, Max?
Valkyria.
I don't know much about her, if I'm honest. Was she the one that had the women's title before she lost it to...
She beat Becky for the NXT Women's Championship.
And then she lost it to...
Roxanne Perez. Over WrestleMania weekend.
That's the one who got... Okay, then... so she drafted... She got a good reception when her name got called out. Everybody went crazy.
She's good. She's someone that's been in the company since NXT UK days, that they brought over from NXT UK when they folded that. So, again, just a good worker. You know, I think she's kind of no thrills. Like, there's nothing overly special about her that we've seen at this point. But they rate her enough to make her a champion, one of the few people they kept from NXT UK. So she must be at least good in the back with the guys and girls and stuff like that. So yeah, it could be very interesting for her on the main roster.
Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell drafted to SmackDown. And then we get to the last part in round 6, where Raw has drafted the final testament, Karrion Kross, Scarlett, Akeem Razor, and Paul Ellering. I mean, and SmackDown gets DIY, which I think is a great look for DIY. I think that's amazing. I think they could do some great stuff on SmackDown eventually when they become solo acts. Obviously, as a tag team, of course, that's great. But I think eventually as solo competitors on SmackDown, I think it'll be great. And Bronson Reed stays on Raw. And Blair Davenport. Do you know much about Blair Davenport, Scan? If not, I'll go to Mex. But do you know much about Blair Davenport, Scan?
I don't, you know. I think that's one for Mex.
Mex, talk to me about Blair Davenport. This one got a real pop. She was sitting next to Brian Pillman Senior. Junior.
And they were like... Absent Senior. Back from the dead.
But, hey, man. Hey, if anyone could come back from the dead in wrestling, it's the loose cannon, Brian Pillman, baby.
My life, flying Brian.
He was special, man. I miss him. I miss him every day. He was one of my favorites. But his son was like very excited, happy for him. And you know, like everybody was happy. So Lash Legend. She was clapping. And tell me about Blair Davenport and why we should be excited about her.
I think what that reaction is that you're talking about is just someone that is so experienced. So again, she was from NXT UK. She was on early AEW, 2019 AEW. Okay. Before that, she was in Stardom. She's done the indies. So she's really been about the block sort of thing for quite a while. So I think what we saw in that reaction, like I was saying, is people, you know, some of those people sitting in that room, obviously they just come from American universities, colleges, other sports. They weren't, you know, inbred with wrestling and that, but they recognize someone that's been really working to kind of get to this point, get to main roster, and the emotion from her as well is probably that as well. You know, I finally made it here, sort of thing. Like after this jugging all over the world all these years. So yeah, big up her, man.
It seems that they really have a real strong support system in wrestling. They're breeding a family of love, and everybody's really happy for each other, which is great to see. Announced on Monday night after Raw, Apollo Crews gets drafted to SmackDown. Giovanni Vinci gets drafted to SmackDown. Tegan Knox gets drafted to SmackDown. And on Raw, you have Natalya, Caden Carter, Katana Chance, which, you know, that tag team, Alyssa Jones. Dijak finally gets called up, man. And he looked great. It was good to see him. I saw him hugging Sean, and it just looked like
that's another one where you can see the whole room was just happy for him, because remember last time he was on main roster, man was T-Bar. Part of Retribution. True. So
he looks like he's ready now, though. He looks ready now. He looks like completely ready. I remember the first time I saw Dijak, when he was Dijak Donovich.
Dijakovic.
And he used to be a manager, not manager. He was part of a faction, like a valet with Jay Lethal. So when Jay Lethal was the world champion. And who's the guy, the manager for Swerve? What's his name again?
Prince Nana
was the manager for Jay Lethal at the time. And I was like, oh, this guy's all right. And then I found out he had some matches on Evolve with Keith Lee. Did really, really well. And that's probably the reason why he got signed to WWE. And then he had another one with Keith Lee that actually did have 5 stars. So it's good to see. I haven't really paid much attention when they repackaged him with the shades and he's looking like someone from Blade Runner. But I did like that match he had with, is it Femi, Mex? Am I right?
Obafemi.
And there was another big guy, the triple threat.
Briggs. I can't remember his first name, but Briggs, yeah.
Briggs Jensen or something like that.
Okay.
Jensen was his tag team partner. Josh Briggs, that's his name.
Okay. So I'm interested to see what they do. Max, Julius Creed, Brutus Creed, and Ivy Nile are all drafted to Raw. So that's the same brand as Chad Gable, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
It can still happen.
Oh, yes. They're gonna kick out the rest of Apple Academy and join, unless they all join together, but I don't see that happen. And then lastly, who's the last name on the thing? It was only New Cash Republic. Yeah, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate is also on Raw. So yeah, it's quite interesting. It's good to see some kind of quote unquote debuts of NXT. Obviously, when Carmelo got drafted, he had a debut match straight away against Cody Rhodes. And I know he's wrestled on SmackDown before, but you know what I mean, like in terms of like his official brand debut. And that was a great one-on-one match with Cody. So yeah, I'm excited to see what a lot of these talent does. Let's quickly talk about Backlash. It's this Saturday. It's in Lyon in France. I'm going to just mention some matches and you guys just tell me what you think, who's going to win. Let's start with the World Tag Team Championship. Awesome Truth, Miz and R-Truth versus DIY. Scan, let's go to you first. Who do you think is going to win that match and why?
Is that on the card or did they have that on Raw last week?
Apparently it's on the card. Am I right about that, Mex?
I don't think it is.
Oh, wow.
There's only 5 matches on the card. I don't think that's one of them.
And only one Raw match so far.
Oh, well, I must be reading some next list. Okay. Let's ignore that one. You're right, because I'm on the thing. But Backlash, I'm on the W website. It's Backlash France 2024. And you're right.
Mex, was Omos left out of the draft?
Yeah. And that's someone I expected to see in the draft to kind of bring him back into TV and stuff, but guess not.
Okay.
What do you guys think about Omos? Do you think they should just...
Apparently he's killing it on the house show circuit. Like he gets big reactions and everything. Like every time he does, they pull him out for a house show on the weekends. But on TV, maybe Triple H just thinks he's good for an attraction over there. And yeah. But for my TV show, I don't really have anything for him.
Let's go with the women's tag team championship, the Kabuki Warriors versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. Scan, what do you think?
Oh, no. I finished. If they do it right, it's going to be a straight up squash match, man.
Max, do you think it should be a squash match? Or do you think they should give Kabuki Warriors some sort of fighting chance? Obviously, against these two strong Amazons, it's going to look inferior. But could they outsmart them because of their experience somehow?
I think Jade and Bianca win. But I would like to see a competitive match because Kairi and Asuka aren't slouches. No. The only thing is, obviously, I think Kairi, Asuka, Bianca, we know they can hold their own. We're looking at Jade Cargill, and we're looking at potentially her longest match ever because this is a 3-hour pay-per-view with 5 matches. So the chances are this match will go maybe 15 minutes at least. So, yeah, if they believe she's ready for that, then let's go, let's get it. But
do you think we'll see Io Sky and Dakota Kai get involved and try and, you know, so maybe Jade and Bianca dominates first, but then Io Sky and Dakota Kai gets involved and makes them prolong the match and gives Kabuki Warriors maybe a fighting chance?
Yeah, it could be some bells and whistles to extend it and stuff like that. Take out Jade, and then Jade like fights from underneath and comes back and does the hot tag and all of that kind of thing. They want to dress this up, we'll see in it. But I think at this point, it's got to be Jade and Bianca walking out with them belts.
You agree? Agree, Scan?
Yeah, 100%, man.
I agree too. Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. This is interesting because Tama Tonga always uses the cut, right, Max? He always does the RKO, his own version, back in Japan.
Yeah, he's on cut. Yeah.
And so did obviously Carl Anderson, but once you come in the presence of Orton, that's done, man. You can't be doing that anymore. But I wonder if he will ever pull it off against Orton. That'd be interesting. But what do you think of this? It's the debut of Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa, obviously them two together as a tag team. It's be the first time we'll see them together against Orton and Owens. Are you excited for this match? And how long do you think this match will go on for?
Go on, Scan.
I am excited for this match, but more so for the story than the actual match itself. Yeah. You know, I suspect there'll be some storyline progression. So we may get a surprise ending, you know, like Kevin and KO might have it. I mean, Kevin and Randy might have it in the bag. And then someone runs in. That's what I suspect. But I think Solo and Tama Tonga is going to get the win.
Yeah. And Maxi, obviously, you would agree with that, right, Max?
Yeah, I think this is obviously Tama Tonga's first official showing in a match capacity. So, yeah, it's important he gets the win. And more importantly, they keep him looking like a crazy madman, as they have been since they debuted him.
And hold off on Jacob Fatu for now, right?
I mean, I guess that's why they didn't debut him last week. Apparently, they were saying that, you know, they've got enough with the bloodline right now. They can space it out. They don't need to kind of, you know, spam everything right now. Yeah. But yeah, they can hold off. We'll see.
WWE Women's Champion Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton. In a triple threat match. Who you got, Max?
I think I'm going to stick with my pick of Bayley. My only hesitation was Naomi could win and then all members of the big three walk out of Backlash of titles. But I think it might be a bit early for that. So I'll stick with Bayley for the win.
Gan, do you agree?
I do like what you're saying about Naomi, actually. I didn't actually think about that because I can't see Bayley having a long reign, to be honest. I don't think she needs to. She's done that already. So it might just be a transitional championship.
Giving her that moment that she deserves at Mania.
Yeah, she got her moment. She won the Rumble. I would give it to Naomi, you know. Yeah.
Could we see Naomi and Jade and Bianca walk out with three tag. That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be a moment, man. That'd be a moment.
I didn't even think about that being a possibility this weekend, but now you guys are getting me excited. Now that's what I want to see. It's not going to happen, but that's what I want to see. You know? I think it's going to be, I think Bayley will retain, but eventually we probably will see the big three hold the titles. Maybe before SummerSlam or maybe at SummerSlam. Yeah, I didn't think of that. And I want to see Naomi. I mean, I know you said earlier, Nia Jax is probably going to join the Bloodline, which you're probably right. Oh, yes. Nia Jax will join the Bloodline because she's going to join the 2.0 Bloodline, the Wolfpack Bloodline, with Solo, Tama, and Jacob. And then Naomi.
She can join OG Bloodline.
OG. You guys, give you guys the pen. There you go. Okay. Main event, Jey Uso versus Damian Priest. Scan. Is it Yeats time? Or is it just Damian?
Is it Priest time?
Is it Yeats time? Or is it Priest time? And they say that I'm the rapper. What do you think, Scan?
I think this has to be a retention for Priest, man. I think it's interesting because I want to see how he pivots into being a babyface, you know. Mm. But he might reject the help of Judgment Day and really want to do it himself. So I'm hoping it's a strong title defense for him.
Yeah. Are you excited to see Jay in this main event position, Max? You know, I know you said earlier you think he deserves it, but you're not. I know you're not too fussed about Jay at the moment.
Yeah, I'm just not like overly sold on him, but I think it's just for like they're trying to build Damian Priest. He is probably second top heel on Raw to Drew McIntyre, and Jey Uso's like second top babyface on Raw to CM Punk, and neither CM Punk or Drew McIntyre is technically available because they can't have their feud yet because they're not, you know, fit. So here we are with like the second best filling in, which sounds harsh, but like, yeah, I think Jey Uso needs to use these kind of opportunities to really prove he's main event Jey.
Yes.
I think Damian Priest retains here, and Damian Priest, even himself, he needs to really use his title run to kind of say, to show people that the minute that Drew McIntyre is fit and back, and same with CM Punk and the same with Rollins, we don't need to put the belt back on them, man. Like, we can actually survive with these other new names. So, yeah, both of them really have something to prove here. I think the match will be good. I think Damian Priest will retain.
And I do feel like Damian Priest he's got a big chip on his shoulder now that he's champion. I think he's gonna be, he knows all the smack people were talking about him on certain podcasts and maybe seen some of the tweets of people saying that he's not ready or he doesn't deserve it or he's the worst money in the bank holder or whatever. People were saying a lot of wild stuff before he actually cashed in, which I understand the frustration of people because it took a while for him to cash in and probably no one actually, well, apart from maybe us, some people didn't really think he was gonna do it at Mania. But to say that he's the one. Like, I was on a show. Oh god, I should plug it, but I forgot the name of the show. This is embarrassing. But I was on the show. I think the Mania weekend. I was on the show at Mania weekend, and there was a guy on there, and he was saying he feels like Damian Priest is like the worst Money in the Bank holder. And I was like, well, we'll see. I said, just wait. Exactly, man. Exactly. The first and foremost, he's not. And secondly, let's just wait and see if he catches him today, because he probably will. Nah, I don't think he will. It's gonna be Drew's moment. It's gonna be Drew's time.
Look what happened. These times, Otis walked around with that briefcase.
Exactly.
Let's not.
Exactly. Come on. have some respect on his name, man. And lastly, Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. This probably would have been a dream match a few years ago. Not to say that it's not now, but I don't think it has the same impact it would have had if it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. But it's still great to see. I'm glad Cody's first official real pay-per-view main event opponent is AJ Styles. What do you guys expect to see in this, and are you excited to see it? And I get a feeling it might shock people, this match, actually. I think it might shock people. Let's go with you first, Max. AJ versus Cody. What's your thoughts?
Cody will win. I want to see this, potentially, because they're on the same brand, if I remember correctly. I want to see this go to, is it the Saudi Arabia show in a couple of weeks' time? Because I think they just need a bit more like nothing's been said. This is just literally Cody waited for his number one contender. The number one contender was, you know, brought to him. Yeah, like now it's going to be hard for you to keep that belt. Signed contract, here we are. Like, let's get to a point where maybe this gets a bit personal. And again, they don't have much. They can start mentioning Bullet Club related stuff. Who was a better leader? Ooh. They can mention, or AJ Styles can mention, I beat your dad in a title match or whatever the case is. Like, there's bits and bobs there, innit? But right now, it's just match for match's sake as opposed to being story-driven.
Scott, are you excited to see AJ Styles go one-on-one with Cody Rhodes?
Yeah, I totally agree with Mex, man. It feels like this needs to be part of a trilogy. I felt like AJ Styles needed more time to cook, man. He needed to really get his powers up, man. I feel like he's still building. I mean, he's obviously got the physique now. He's looking in the best shape he's ever been in, you know. So it's going to probably be match of the night. But again, you know, I think Cody's going to retain and we're going to run it back.
I think you're right. I'm excited to see what goes forward between these two when the story gets a bit more involved in these two, actually. I think these two are going to tear the house down again and again. But let's see. Backlash is this weekend. I don't know where you guys watching it. You guys just watching it at home?
I'm at home, probably.
Probably at home. It's going to be an early one, isn't it? It's going to be like, what, 7, 8 o'clock?
Is it?
6 yeah, o'clock.
How many hours in France are ahead of us?
I think we have the same time zone, or they're like 1 hour or something.
Oh,
like
right. So they're going to showcase it earlier. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, yeah, I'm excited to see it. We'll definitely do a review next week when it comes out. And guys, where anyone wants to follow you that's listening today, where can they find you? Scan, where can people follow you?
Right. So Scan, you can find me at SKANDOUZ or at The Mega Powers TV on socials.
Yeah. And Max, we all know you're part of the Kick Out family, so you're probably going to promote Kick Out. But please, promote your own channel, because WrestleMania, you always got some great content there weekly, and whatever else you want to promote, please.
Yeah, Kick Out podcast, man. follow along. If you want to follow me individually, then yeah, WrestleManiac UK on all your social platforms.
Big up yourselves, man. All right, man. Stay tuned. There'll be some more content coming from us soon, and thank you for listening. Take care, guys.
Peace. Yeah.